Praise the Lord for those blessings. We're going to look at Numbers 1 and verse 54 again as a reminder of what we're looking at in the early chapters of Numbers. In verse 54, the Bible says in chapter 1, "And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they." Now that is a wonderful statement that a nation was obedient to everything God told Moses to tell them to do. And it's in chapter 1 of Numbers. But when we get to chapter 11, we find it didn't last long. This is our midweek Bible study in the book of Numbers. We're talking about having an enjoyment in the journey with God. They were in the wilderness at this time, going in to take the land that God had given to Abraham. And they are on their route in the wilderness. Over the next 38 years after chapter 1, verse 54, they began to disobey God, and a whole generation had to die off that God restricted from going into the promised land and inheriting the land. Their children could go in and inherit the land, but that adult generation had to die off. Satan works against us continually. He uses the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, along with fear. And Israel had all of these problems that caused them to disobey God and displease God. Our flesh wants to do what it wants to do. It wants to fulfill the desires that it has without waiting for God to supply our needs. Failure based on unbelief was Israel's primary problem about not going into the land, because when they sent spies in to see what the land was like and they learned that they had walled cities and giants that lived there, and they did not believe with all the armies of 10 nations that they could defeat them, even though God had promised them he would deliver them, he would go with them. But because of their unbelief, they were not allowed to go in. Now, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And they lacked faith. If we lack faith, it's the same sin of unbelief that they were experiencing. In Romans 4 and verse 18 through 21, we hear read the story of Abraham, who was the friend of God. And Romans 4, verse 18 through 21, speaking of him who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, "So shall thy seed be." And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. Therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. He believed God, and it was imputed to him as righteousness. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the righteousness of God through salvation by faith in him. And Abraham is the father of our faith. We saw last that Israel was in the country of Paran in the wilderness. In chapter 11 of Numbers, in verse 10 through 15, "Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I found favor in thy sight? Have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. If thou wilt deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee. Out of thy hand I have found favor in thy sight. Let me not see my wretchedness. Now this is the state that Moses is in with the murmuring and the complaining of the people of God. He gets tired and he wants to quit. He wants to give up. He wants God to kill him. He doesn't want to see what he believes is going to happen, which is a loss of faith on his part. In verse 16 through 25, God comes down to Moses. Verse 16, the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bearest it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? And it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out of your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Now we're looking all the way down to verse 25. Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them, or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? The Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders and the people, and set them around about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Well, this is an amazing event that took place. We find Moses, who had been patient with the people and patient with the trip and all of the troubles and trials that they faced, who prayed unto God and saw God do mighty, miraculous things, yet now he has become weary in his job and in his lost his patience. God comes down among him and gives the 70 a portion of the Spirit. And then some begin to complain because some of these are prophesying, and not just Moses. And Moses is humble about this thing. And he is. He says, would God that all God's people were prophesying. Would God that all of God's people had the Spirit and would do the work of the Lord. And this is not an offense to me that these people are speaking up for the Lord in this way. Now, God supplied a miraculous amount of quail that the winds blew in, and they fell down upon the ground, and the people stood up all night long killing the quail and dressing the quail. And this was an amazing amount that took place. But then as they immediately began to eat, while the food was still in their teeth and was not chewed up, God struck those who lusted with a plague. Now it says in verse 32, The people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day and gathered the quail, and he that gathered least gathered 10 homers. And they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. Now, 10 homers or omers would be, I understand, 60 bushels. So 60 bushels of the meat of the quail would have been gathered during this time period by each person that gathered this many. And this is a tremendous amount. But God is not pleased with their murmuring and complaining and with their lusting after meat as they did and not being satisfied with the manna that God had given them freely. This is mentioned in Psalm 106. If you want to look there, or I'll read it for you. Psalm 106. And verse 13 through 15. It says in verse 13 of Psalm 106, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. God caused a great plague to come among them and the fire of the Lord upon them because of what they had done. Now we come into chapter 12 of Numbers, and we see the great delay that took place because of God's chastening upon Miriam. Verse 1, Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not also spoken by us? And the Lord heard it. You ever say anything against the Lord? That's exactly what you need to remember. The Lord heard it. He hears what we say. He hears what we hear. He knows what we think. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and Aaron and Miriam, come out ye three into the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches and similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Now when the Lord lifted up, the cloud lifted up with him. And as soon as the cloud lifted up, Miriam was struck with leprosy. Her body turned white, leprous, because of speaking against Moses' wife. Now, people try to make a race relationship out of this. I don't know that's the case. The woman, where she was from, part of the Cushites, no doubt, but she was not necessarily an Ethiopian, as the Bible says. She was a Midianite. And the Midians were descendants of Abraham. Abraham married a second woman after Sarah died. Her name was Keturah. And one of the sons he bore was Midian. And these are the Midianites. And her father was the priest of the Midianites. And Moses went there when he ran away from Egypt. And he protected her from the shepherds. And she took him to her home. And her father fed Moses, gave him a place to stay, and he ended up marrying one of his daughters, which is named Zipporah, and he had children. And this was the case that God dealt with them. And God had no problem with the wife that he married. She was not of the Canaanites, not of the 10 tribes that were cursed by God. But Miriam and Aaron spoke against her, and God struck Miriam with leprosy. Therefore, she must have been the lead one in this thing. I'm told the verb that is used for her speaking against is feminine in its case. And so she is the one who was struck with leprosy. Now, immediately Aaron pleads with Moses, asking him not to lay the sin upon them, for they have done foolishly. And Moses cried unto the Lord, and he healed her. But he said, even if her father had spit in her face, she'd have to be put out of the camp for a period of time while she was unclean. And so because she had leprosy, God said, I will heal her, but she's got to be expelled from the camp for 7 days. So they had a 7-day delay. Verse number 15, Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. Now, this delay was something that would be very evident to all of them because they are in pursuit to go to the land that God has promised to give them. Chapter 13 and 14 deals with a place called Kadesh. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I have given. I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. Now, I got a typo here. They did not need to spy out the land, but they sent 12 spies, not 13. When you try to find Joshua's name in the list who was with them, his name at that time was Oshi. And it's he's the tribe of Ephraim. And he is Moses changed his name to Joshua, which means the salvation of God. And Joshua in Greek is Jesus. And that's where our Lord's name is God's salvation. And that was the name for Joshua that Moses gave to him. But he is listed in the 12 spies. Now we've seen that Joshua is a servant unto Moses and was a general of the armies of the Lord. He was the leader to go against the other nations when they fought in battle. We also meet Caleb, and he's mentioned 31 more times in the wilderness journey. Caleb's name means a faithful dog. And I almost named one of my kids that until I looked up the meaning of it, and I said, I don't, you know, faithful part's good, but it just didn't feel comfortable. Nobody in here is named Caleb, brother. There's nothing wrong with it, but just, you know, I just felt with the dog connection, I wouldn't name my child that. But Caleb was a mighty man of God. He had power and strength even into his old age. When they got ready to divide up the land, Caleb wanted the land where the giants lived. And he went up there to take that land away from them like God had told him to do. Now they search out the land for 40 days. They send in 12 spies, one from each tribe, to spy out the land. And they travel about 500 miles in 40 days. And they return with a selection of fruits from the land, including on a pole carried by two men, a large group of grapes from Eshcol. And they must have been very large and very different from anything anybody had seen up to that point in time. And the land was called a place that flowed with milk and honey. And it was a place of abundance. It was a place where crops grew abundantly. And it was unlike Egypt, where they had to the closeness of the Nile River to gain water. It was not rains that brought the vegetables and such. And so the land of Israel was dependent upon God bringing the rains for them to bless them. And he taught them in his word that if you worship idols, I'll withhold the rain from you. And it's a very difficult thing in that day and time to irrigate or to be able to bring water from another distance. When I was in Vietnam, one of the first 60-day missions I was on in the jungle, we came across a village where people just lived in a thatch room and circular buildings around a big pot in the middle of the village there. And they had a chief of the village, and the people worked the rice fields. And they had a young man, he was about 12 or 13 years of age. You didn't see many, nobody older than that, and you didn't see many that age because the Vietnamese army would take them and make soldiers out of them when they got old enough. And so this young man had a stick across his back, and on each end of it, it had a hand-woven basket that was in a V shape, probably held 4 gallons of water. And the mothers had made that thing by hand. And he had one on each side, and they would go down into a dugout and dip it full of water and get the other one full of water, and then they would help him get it on his shoulders. He would carry it up and walk along the rows, and the women would tilt them and water the plants with it. And the poor kid was trembling because of the weight of it and doing that job. So I can imagine what it would have been like to carry water and to irrigate in this place and in this time. The spies went up to spy out the land. And when they came back, they said, there are walled cities, and there are many armies, and there are giants in the land who are the sons of Anak. You remember in the Bible who was one of their brothers? His name was Goliath. That's exactly right. And these were men his size and great in army and in armor. So they feared. Back in Numbers 13, 1 through 25, they doubted God's word. They began to list all the strong defense of the land. Caleb spoke in verse 30 of chapter 13. And said, Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched out of the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. So here they've come to this land that they're supposed to go in and take over. And they know there's 10 nations that God would have them fight against to take the land that God had given to Abraham. And they got scared. They're living by sight and not by faith. They're forgetting about what God promised. And they're thinking about what they see with their eyes, the obstacles. So they wept in unbelief. The Amalekites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Canaanites are all there as armed people ready for battle. And these doubters caused the people to murmur and complain against Moses and Aaron in chapter 14 and verse 1 through 5. And they said one to another, verse 4, let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt. All this distance they've traveled, they crossed the Red Sea, they saw God bring 10 mighty plagues upon Egypt and deliver them, and they've seen God miraculously give them water and give them manna and now give them quail to eat, and all these things that God has done, and they're going to turn around and go back to Egypt because they missed the easy food they had when they were servants there. The discouraged people, how easy it is for people to get discouraged when they shift their focus off of God and put it on the trouble and trial and problem of circumstance that they're facing. We still live that way, my friends. We know God is for us. We know God can supply our needs. We know God can protect us and provide for us. But then just as soon as some serious problem happens, we begin to fear and we forget all about trust in the Lord and we start looking for an alternative of how we're going to get out of this mess that we're in, rather than believing God will carry us through. Many of you can think back several times where God has brought you through something and supplied your needs and blessed you, but you were afraid and you weren't sure, and God blessed you and you came through it and you praise God for that. Do you not believe God can do it again? We still serve the same God. We still worship the same Lord as they did. And in their discouragement, they've taken their focus off the Lord and put it on the land and the people of the land. Now, Joshua and Caleb rent their garments. They tear their garments open, which is a Jewish thing to do when there's great grief comes upon them. They will tear their garment open. And they made an appeal. Look at verse 6 through 9 in chapter 14. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land and rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle and the congregation before all the children of Israel. They caused the presence of God to begin to glow in their midst because of their disbelief, because of their wanting to kill Joshua and Caleb, who were God's men that believed God in this time. They understood where God leads, God can keep his people. When we follow the Lord and obey him, God will take care of us. God will supply our needs. Joy and I moved here 45 years ago to begin this church in Fort Mill. And we met in temporary buildings for the first 3 years. And then we bought this 5 acres of land. And we went through a lot of praying and waiting and getting all these buildings built and getting them paid off and all that sort of thing. But it's all been of the Lord. It's because we believe God. I walked around on this property when it was a pine forest. And I took my shoes off. You've heard me tell this story. And I walked around barefooted on this land and asked God to give us this place and build a great church here. I wish I'd have kept my shoes on. Pine cones aren't much fun when they're under the pine needles and you step on them, you know. But I thought about it in the Bible where he took off his shoes because they were on holy ground. And I tried to treat it that way and believe God that he would do something here. And I promise you, it has been God that has done what has accomplished here. We could have not done this on our own. And we certainly had no great wealth in order to do this. God speaks to Moses and questions him, how long will this people provoke me? In verse 11 and 12. God's angry. God's tired of this. And he questions Moses. And Moses intercedes on behalf of the people. Look at verse 13. Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that thou, the Lord, art among his people, and thou, the Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard of the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring his people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken. Pay very close attention, beginning with verse number 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Moses intercedes as a type of Christ. He intercedes with God on behalf of the people. And Jesus is in heaven today interceding for you and I. So when we pray, our prayers can be answered and God can bless us and meet our needs because the Lord intercedes for us. He knows we are but dust. He knows that we are not perfect. And Moses said, God, you've forgiven them over and over and over again. You're a merciful God. And I can say that God is merciful. And he has forgiven us over and over and over again. Unbelief is still a serious problem among the sins of God's people. In chapter 14, they defy God's will. I'm going to stop right there. Put a mark on your outline right there. I got a whole bunch of handwritten notes that I'll fill in for you next week. And we'll look at how they defied the people of God. There were five things they did here. Number one, they doubted God's word. Number two, they discouraged the people. Number three, they were defying God's will. And then we'll look at four and five next week. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. I pray these things will help you, that you'll think about these when you face some trial and difficulty and hardship in your life, to believe God and trust God. God is able. Moses understood that most of the time. It was when the people murmured and complained so much, laying all the guilt on him for not having what they wanted, that he got discouraged. And I understand leadership can be discouraging, trying to meet the needs of all the people. But God was able to give the victory. Father, I pray that you'd bless your people tonight. Give them a safe trip home. Help them with their needs. We've had people that have had damage from hail with their automobiles and their houses, and we pray you'd bless with that. We pray, Lord, you'll continue to supply the needs of your people as they seek to serve you and live for you. Help us to be people who are not guilty of unbelief with our God. Help us not to look on circumstance. Help us to look to the Lord, who is greater than the circumstances that we face, and give you praise and thanks for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.